There's never an ideal time to be in a fight with the world's most populous country, but during a pandemic, it's less than ideal. That's the situation the U.S. and China find themselves in right now. President Trump continues to blame China for mishandling the coronavirus outbreak, as he did again on Twitter today. Trump has also said he's very torn about hitting stop on phase one of a U.S.-China trade deal. China is hinting that it would like to rework the deal more in its favor. A lot to unpack here about this fraught relationship. Let's kick off our coverage with former U.S. Ambassador to China, John Huntsman. He's also currently running for governor of Utah as a Republican candidate. Huntsman says a lot is on the line right now in the U.S.-China relationship.
350,000 students, economic relations that are $800 to $900 billion strong. Collaboration in the Security Council of the United Nations, work around the Horn of Africa. I mean, the list goes on and on and on in terms of how the relationship has been deepened over the years.
We're now in the midst of a pandemic, and the president is pointing a finger at China using language like the Wuhan virus. Is that smart diplomacy?
What is smart diplomacy is to figure out how we can get a cure. And one thing is for sure is the laboratories and the scientists in both China and the United States are more likely to get us to that endpoint faster working together than apart.
So how do we get back together? Because it doesn't look like that's where both sides are willing to go right now.
I think this is going to be a longer-term trough because I think some of the fallouts of the implications are going to deal with the economic relationship. So if you argue that supply chains are likely to be broken up and investment patterns are going to change, this isn't a short-term trough. I think it's a longer-term trough. And what the relationship looks like, what you can build a relationship around in the post-COVID period, I think is a question mark. So the economic relationship, which is really the sweet spot of the U.S.-China relationship, is going to change. There's no doubt about that. And what that means longer term, I think is really, really a question mark. But I think it does mean that this trough is going to last longer than some people might realize.
Can the world's two biggest economies actually afford to decouple, especially now with economies everywhere on life support?
No, I don't think they can decouple. I think you have investment patterns of change that diversify. I think you have recognition that there is risk of dependency, and that promotes some changes. I think there's going to be more of a flight to safety. So when you have calamities like this take place in the world, there's generally a flight to safety. The U.S. market is always deemed to be the safest market in the world. So I think all of these are going to affect the economic relationship. But I don't think you go from almost $1 trillion in bilateral trade to nothing. I think there are going to be a lot of products that go back and forth with a large consumer class in China, hundreds of millions strong. They will still be buying products. That's not going to discontinue. So the relationship will continue. It will just change. It'll be transformed.
The Trump administration is considering demanding reparations from China for the virus and suspending what's called sovereign immunity so China can be sued for virus-related deaths. Do you think that's a good idea?
I'm not in a position to say, but what I think the greatest punishment that will be inflicted on China is likely to be is a loss of confidence in the marketplace and diminished investment flows. So the one thing that China really does worry about is their key economic indicators. So I suspect that Xi Jinping wakes up every morning and looks at the dashboard of indicators like employment, like inflation, because we remember exactly what those data were in the run-up to spring of 1989 before Tiananmen Square, and they weren't healthy. It wasn't just the students who turned out in Tiananmen Square. They turned out for a reason, you know, the death of beloved leader Hu Yaobang. But there was a backdrop that was basically a really bad economic set of circumstances. And I think the leadership learned from that point forward, it's the economy, the economy, the economy.
How concerned are you, John Huntsman, that Trump will further politicize the animus between Washington and Beijing to demonstrate that he is tough on China? I mean, are we looking at a presidential contest where it's Trump and Joe Biden competing to see who can present themselves as the toughest?
Every presidential election in recent memory has had China as a centerpiece of a foreign policy discussion.
If there are no constructive solutions, though, that either candidate offers, I mean, what difference will it make?
Well, they'll have to come up with constructive solutions. I mean, what do you want the relationship to look like? You can't wish a major superpower away. You've got to deal with them. So what are the parameters with which you're going to deal with China? What are your red lines? What is it that you're going to promote? What are you not going to promote? There's plenty to talk about. In fact, now more than ever, this is when we really should be discussing the relationship.
Ambassador, I'd like to play an exchange that happened yesterday at the White House. CBS reporter Wuja Zhang, who is Asian American, asked President Trump why he kept comparing U.S. testing for the coronavirus with other nations. Here's that exchange.
Don't ask me. Ask China that question, okay? When you ask them that question, you may get a very unusual answer. Yes, behind you, please.
What, sir, why are you saying that to me specifically?
I'm telling you. I'm not saying it specifically to anybody. I'm saying it to anybody that would ask a nasty question
That's
like that.
That's not a nasty question.
Please go ahead.
Why does it matter?
Okay. Anybody else? Please, go ahead in the back, please.
Well, the president then abruptly ended the briefing. CBS's Zhang describes herself in her Twitter bio as a Chinese-born West Virginian. Ambassador Huntsman, what is your takeaway from that exchange?
Well, I have a Chinese daughter, and I think the optics are bad. I think they're really bad, and it's something that I don't like to see.
How do you think moments like that are received in Beijing?
My experience with Chinese leadership is that they spend a lot of time analyzing the style of leaders, their approach, their negotiating style, their priorities, their personalities. I'm not sure that they're surprised by a whole lot that the president does.
You were President Trump's ambassador to Russia while the Mueller investigation was going on. What is it like to try to communicate serious policy to a hostile government when the president is frequently less than serious in how he communicates?
The environment was impossible, yet we had many things that we were talking about and many priorities in the relationship that had to be furthered. There was no desire to collaborate on either side. There was no desire to engage on the part of Congress in the United States or the Duma in Russia. So it basically fell to a few people to keep the mechanics of the relationship in check.
John Huntsman was the U.S. ambassador to China under President Obama. He's currently a Republican candidate for governor in Utah. Ambassador, thank you for your time.
Marco, real pleasure. Thanks so much.